done that before. It's the first time I've ever done that. It was fun, and you're just like,
oh, the opposition defiant disorder has come up.
Yeah,
I hate
yeah,
dealing with
that's
this.
Yeah.
Of your many issues, that's the one that drives me the most crazy.
That is, I don't have that.
You sure?
Yeah.
You sure? Then how come when I asked you to start recording, you said, why don't you start recording? Like, that's...
It was the exception
textbook.
To the rule.
That's
it's
textbook.
The first time I've ever said that, which was funny because it was unexpected.
Hmm.
But
hmm.
And it was oppositional. And
you say you were doing a bit. That wasn't a true expression of your deepest self?
No, I think it was in that case. But it's not something that I've ever done before. So,
is it possible to have opposition defiant disorder and never act on it because you have managed it and you have it under control? Do you still have the disorder or is it gone? How does the human mind work? This is really the question I would like to ask.
Is oppositional defiance disorder, it's just stubbornness, right?
I think it's more than stubbornness because we all have a little bit of stubbornness in us, right?
Yes, but some more than others. I recognize it when I see it.
Like, let's take an example from current events. Guess which American politician I'm about to reference in the context of opposition defiance disorder.
Okay.
Someone who, as soon as some type of stricture or limit is attempted upon his behavior, this politician, who you have to guess who I'm talking about, they lash out in defiance of it, in opposition of it. This American, if you need another hint, this American politician is currently facing multiple lawsuits and legal actions, one of which involves him being instructed not to tweet about a judge or the judge's family.
Right.
And this politician, who remember, you need to guess who I'm talking about because I'm not going to give you that many more clues.
I got an idea. Oh, you want me to just
this person immediately started tweeting about the judge and his family. Who do you suppose that is?
Donald J. Trump.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. He is someone who I think has opposition defiant disorder. And it's not, that feels like more than stubbornness, right? It's like.
Is it opposition defiance disorder or oppositional defiance disorder?
I think it's the weirdest possible one. I think it is opposition defiant disorder.
What?
I know, which makes no sense grammatically, but I think that's what it
is. Wow.
Let me look.
I never had any idea.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
I don't like
saying daylight saving time either, even though it's correct.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know
that. I think you should just say daylight savings. It's what we've always said.
Oh, I'm wrong. It's oppositional defiant disorder.
So we were both wrong.
We both got one.
Right.
Oppositional defiant disorder. Okay, got it.
Oppositional bloody fist of defiance disorder.
Oh, shit.
That's what we had in high school.
That's right. That was one of our band names, the bloody fist of defiance. We brought the system to its knees.
I think with Trump, it's not that he's just like, I'm going to oppose this. I just think that he has no ability to control himself.
Right. But the impulse to do it, I think, becomes stronger if he's told not to do it. And to me, that sounds like oppositional defiant disorder.
That's a good point.
Right?
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, this episode certainly opened on a heady subject, the human mind itself and its many shortcomings, failures, diseases, and imperfections. Who knows what evil lurks within the hearts of man? The shadow knows.
Yes.
Who knows what evils lurk within the brains of men? Nobody knows. The brain, friends, is the ultimate black box. Nobody knows what goes on inside these organs of ours called the human brain. All we know is they can be the source of greatest delight or deepest discomfort. The human brain. You might call it a computer processing chip that runs the software that makes your body move. Right?
Yeah.
This might be the single greatest episode of a podcast I've ever heard. What if that was my real voice? I wish a British person would give us a compliment like that. I would melt. I'm such an Anglophile. Oh, my God. These British cryptic crosswords I've been working on, whoo, those will give your brain a stretch. Those will give your brain a right workout. Those will give your brain a right workout. Is that British accent? What do they sound like over there?
Yeah, that sounded right. Yeah.
These,
you got any money?
These cryptic crosswords will give your brain a right workout with some bangers
and
mash.
That feels more, that's British, but it's more Liverpool.
All right, this podcast is over. Goodbye, everybody. Thanks for listening.
All right.
Patreon.com/election profit makers.
And don't forget to rate and review us.
Oh, yeah, right. Seriously, guys, you should do that.
Yeah.
Don't mention the shitty, horrible elements of this podcast when you write a review.
Yeah,
please focus on the wonderful and...
positive vibes only.
Positive vibes only. PVO.
5 stars only.
5 star. Well, we should have a 4-star one.
No.
Okay. Fuck it. 5.
That's just not how. That's not how these things work anymore. You know, when you go to the dealer.
I know. It's also all or nothing in today's society.
Yeah, you just have to give all 10s. If you give 9s, that's like a problem. Apparently, it's great inflation.
A Lyft driver could literally stab me, and I would still give them 5 stars because I would feel so bad about it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, what else are
you
going to do?
You should start fighting back. You should start fighting back and not giving those.
Should I do that? Should I take my stand on Yelp and be like...
Yeah, yeah, that'll help
well,
you.
Well, if I can be personal for a second, you know what? Let me ask you guys a question. This is a serious question. So I bought this PV keyboard amp, KB60. It's a classic, like, 80s keyboard amp. I just like these big, solid state. Oh, my God, John. Stop. Wake up.
What?
I listen to you talk about so much boring stuff.
Okay.
And looking at the outline, I know you're about to talk about one of the most boring things on Earth, which is... the record-breaking pollen count in North Carolina. So open your eyes and listen to me for once.
Okay.
I bought this PV amplifier, keyboard amp, solid state amp, really flat response. Bought it on Reverb, secondhand, of course, because it's like 40 years old, whatever. Maybe 30 years old. And then I get it and it doesn't really work. It's not loud enough. So I open it up and try to fix it and I realize it's over my pay grade. So I take it to a local electronics repair shop. And drop it off and pay the down payments like $75, $85. John, this is what's known as a bench fee. That's the money you pay just to have someone put it on the bench and look at it. And then I don't hear anything. And then I get a call and they say, yeah, so it turns out the circuit board was cracked and a couple of the connections broke. So our tech has resoldered it and it's ready to pick up. So I come and pick it up and it's louder than it used to be. But I realized a couple nights ago when I was playing music with some friends, I don't think it's fixed all the way. So my question to my listeners is this. What do I do? Do I take it back to the repair shop a month later and say, you know what? I actually don't think you fixed this. Please fix it. Or do I find a new repair shop and say, listen, the other guy didn't fix it. Will you fix it? John, what would you do if you were in my shoes?
I heard most of that.
Oh, my God. All right, forget it. Fuck it. Laura Trump has a new song out, everybody. Let's make fun of it for a little while. I'm going to bring it up. It's called... Anything is Possible.
It's actually her second song.
Well, it's her first original because her first song was a cover, right?
Yeah, which I didn't know about any of this.
Really?
No.
Oh. All right, let's listen to it.
Talking to that little girl, riding on the Pegasus.
So
tell
dope.
Her everything's gonna be all right. Even when it's getting hard in this hurricane life, you still gotta spread your wings and fly. So don't think, just jump. You can't give up. Know that anything is possible. Have faith, believe, just trust, you'll see anything is possible.
This is the simplest song I've ever heard.
It's pretty basic. I will say that.
It's so embarrassing. The song, the writing, the singing. She's a fine singer. She's fine.
Oh, this thing is
but she,
so
but
auto-tuned.
It sounds like what you would come out with in 1980s Myrtle Beach if you went to one of those karaoke sound studios.
Which we used to do at the beach. Yeah, that's right.
Yes. I mean, that was my first impression. I was like, yeah, this is not bad for some teenagers that went into.
She is the chair of the Republican National Committee. I mean, this is historic in a way. I don't know if a party chair has ever released an original song before. Has that happened? I mean, we remember our former attorney general with Let the Eagle Soar.
Yeah. But he didn't release that, and he sang that song in church. And,
right.
and that
it wasn't
was
a single.
And it was kind of a big deal and sort of strange when he did that. But that was just kind of quirky. This is like a commercial enterprise.
Three lyricists Jake Catalano, Jimmy Cozier, and Laura Trump. Three arrangers, Laura Trump, LG Fino, and someone named Product. Actually, four lyricists. Oh, come on, guys. There's some production padding here. So this came out on Friday. Well, I think while I was probably at the UNC game at the Crypto.com arena. The press release says, Laura Trump, who is co-chair of the Republican National Committee, is releasing her first original single titled Anything Is Possible. The song, which she co-wrote and produced with major industry figures, discusses themes of faith, resilience, and taking risks. While focusing on her RNC role in the near term, Trump says music has become a creative outlet, and she plans to further pursue her musical talents after the election season. Have faith, believe, just trust, you'll see. Anything is possible, the chorus says. Hard traveling a winding road, full faith in the one who knows. I put my armor on and I stand for what's to come, because there's darkness before the dawn, Laura sings. Quote, we're thrilled to present Laura Trump's first original single, a testament to her journey as a hardworking mother, a powerhouse in cultural influence, and more importantly, an unstoppable recording artist. LG Fino, president of First Class Label Group and executive producer of Trump's music, said, Anything is possible is a page out of Laura's diary, and we are very proud of her work. I'm sure music lovers alike will agree that it is a fantastic record. So, my impulse, of course, because I'm a bad person, is to roll my eyes and sneer at this objectively terrible and generic song. This truly feels like an algorithm wrote this song.
Yes. Yeah.
The input was Laura Trump sings boring, inspirational song. It would absolutely give you this.
I thought it was AI.
Everything about it is synthetic and banal and unengaging.
Mm-hmm.
Cliche piled upon cliche. But then I was thinking and I was like, you know what? Laura Trump is, well, first of all, she's married to Eric Trump. So she's already won life's lottery because, as you have said before, you think Eric Trump has very kissable lips and you think he's kind of sexy in a weird way.
Yeah, that's not what I said.
I think you said something like that once, though, didn't you? Weren't you like, oh, no, Eric Trump, he's the cute one. Didn't you say that once?
You were asking one time. You were just asking ridiculous questions. And you were like, John, I'd like to ask you a question. Who would you rather kiss, Don Jr. or Eric?
And you said Eric, right?
Yeah, I had to say
right,
one
okay,
of them.
Because you're in love with him. Right. Okay. So it makes sense you would want to kiss him because he's stolen your heart.
Right.
Anyway, Laura Trump's married to this absolute ghoul, Eric Trump. This poor guy. Anyway, she's got a lot on her plate. She's like responsible for getting her father-in-law his job back. And I'm sure they don't get along because wasn't he on the record of making fun of her years ago or something?
Right.
I mean, just being in that family, can you blame somebody in the Trump family if they need a creative outlet and they turn to music?
But it just seems like if you didn't want to be made fun of in the family, this would not be the right move to go. This feels like something that she and Eric cooked up. And it also feels like, unbelievably, this is just simply a money-making opportunity.
You think she released this song to make money?
I think they are hurting and worried about money.
This is on a par with Trump's golden sneakers and his Bibles?
Yes, and it's actually much worse. I would say that this is the most shameful thing that any Trump has ever done. Okay.
Hold on. Let's turn to the hyperbole meter and see what the readings say.
It's the most embarrassing thing that a Trump has ever done, the most like cringe-worthy thing that a Trump has done. When Donald Trump released those sneakers, that was ridiculous, and it was pandering, and it was an obvious ploy to make money and to take advantage of a market that he thought was out there. But Donald Trump didn't design those shoes.
Oh.
Donald Trump, imagine if Donald Trump released a rap record.
Oh my God.
Or Don Jr. did, or something like that. That would be just so beyond the pale embarrassing and strange and off brand. It's just, you can't be a a political spokesperson and also be putting out songs like this.
Why not? It makes perfect sense. Songs are a means of communication. Songs are the spokespeople of our hearts.
But it's bad. That's the thing. It's just bad.
I don't know if the Trump base will think it's bad. They might like it.
They might like it. Yeah, and I think it could make money.
It is the least garish thing that has ever been put out into the world that's associated with Trump.
Yes, but it's so much more personal because it's art.
But it's not that's the thing about it. It is not personal at all. It's the most impersonal song about not giving up. You know what I mean?
It's so bad.
I don't think
it's so bad.
All right, so let me defend it.
I was listening to it last night and singing to it, and also singing to her Tom Petty cover as well.
I Won't Back Down, a classic song of defiance and free-spiritedness. Yep.
Yeah, and Jennifer came in and was like, what are you doing? Why are you singing this? And I was like, oh, I was trying to see if I could sing it as well as her, and I can. And I'm not a singer. I haven't released an album and never would.
Did you ever watch a show called The Real Housewives of Atlanta?
No, but I
you know about that whole era or that whole universe of reality shows.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I used to watch that show because the company that made that show also made this other show called Going Deep with David Reese. And so as for loyalty to my funders, I had to, of course, go deep into the lore of Real Housewives of Atlanta because they were paying for my job. There was a woman on that show named Kim. She was a big, big, brash blonde woman. And at some point she decides that she wants to become a singer. And she hires a music producer named Dallas Austin, who was legit. He worked with TLC. He produced the TLC song Digging on You, which is TLC's best song. I have the 12-inch maxi single with all the remixes on it. And they work together in a studio to put out a horrible song because she's not a talented musician. This song by Laura Trump kind of gives me the same vibes because you can tell when you listen to it, it's completely auto-tuned to death, but they're not using auto-tune the way T-Pain is using auto-tune. They don't want you to know that it's auto-tuned. You know what I mean? They're not using it as a vocal effect, but this thing is totally auto-tuned. You can tell.
Right.
In spite of that, and this is, okay, this is the point I want to make about this song. This is my take. This is one of those great cultural artifacts that is simultaneously so synthetic and generic, but also to me feels like excruciatingly personal because I can't imagine anyone in the Trump family was clamoring for Laura Trump to put out some dopey song.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying.
I can't imagine anything other than the fact that she's like, listen, father-in-law.
Yeah.
If you want me to be the co-chair of the national party that we are going to turn into a money laundering operation for you and you alone, you will let me sing. You will let me put out this because this has to be driving Donald Trump fucking crazy.
Exactly.
So in a way, this is like a very punk rock song. This is like the Subhumans. You know what I mean? Like this is very, very, this is as tough as the grimiest crust punk you would ever hear. Because I do feel it can't be. Like, have you seen all those memes about, you know, how J-Lo, you know, the famous singer Jennifer Lopez, J-Lo?
Mm-hmm.
She put out a new album and a documentary and like a feature-length video for her album.
Mm-hmm.
And it has not been well received. And it's kind of brought her to account. There's like this public reckoning of J-Lo and what a nasty person she is.
Wait a minute. She's put a new album out?
Yeah. It's her first new album in 10 years. She also put out a document and she was planning a tour, but she's canceling dates because no one is buying tickets. This is like a really spectacular public flame out in the last couple of weeks.
Okay.
And there's a big meme on TikTok about her husband, who's the famous actor Ben Affleck, watching her do all this stuff and looking like really abashed. I think that's the word, and embarrassed.
Right. Although that he has a resting embarrassed type face.
That's true. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, he does. He has resting agony face.
Yes.
He has resting New England agony face. That's what he has.
Yeah, he's perfect for memes, but I'm not sure that he's always feeling the way he looks.
Fair enough. Okay, so forget I mentioned all that.
All right,
but
all right.
This Laura Trump thing, I imagine there's a similar dynamic. Do you really think Eric Trump was like, honey, I just listened to the new mix. This is incredible. Like, I love it. You think Donald Trump called her up and was like, hey, I just want to say, I'm so proud of you that you're my daughter-in-law. First, because you're such a wonderful wife and mother to my dear son, Eric, who I give a shit about and think about a lot. Secondly, because you're so talented, and this song, Don't Give Up, or whatever, what's it called? Passion for Winning, whatever it's called. I've already forgotten what it's called.
Never Give Up?
Right, something like that. Never Give Up.
Anything is possible.
Anything is possible. I beg your pardon. Yeah.
I thought it was like, Never Give Up, Don't Ever Give Up, Jim Valvano.
Right.
NC or State. Don't Give she Up. She went to NC State.
I know.
Maybe
it's
that's
all
why
connected.
She released this. She released this. You know, as NC State's making their Cinderella run, she's saying anything is possible. Maybe that's it. Maybe she's.
Is this an NC State fight song? This is going to be their walk on music in the Final Four next weekend.
Oh, my God.
DJ Burns comes out to this song. Oh, my gosh.
I love it.
Anyway, my point is yes, the song is horrible. And it's really funny that she. I love it when some, well, I guess you can't really judge other people sometimes, because on the one hand, in the press release, she's like, yeah, music is an outlet for me and I find it so creatively fulfilling and blah, blah, blah. Then she puts out the least creative piece of music of the century. Do you know what I mean? Did she really find creative fulfillment? But maybe she did, because she's new to songwriting. Maybe in 10 years, she'll be writing some far out crazy shit like Bob Dylan or whatever.
Yeah, that's what it feels like. It feels like a beginner.
This is the opening salvo.
Right.
Yeah. This is the American Carnage speech. And in 4 years, she'll be on to the Project 2025 stuff, like the real far out stuff. She'll be like Captain Beefheart or something.
Right.
Talking about xylophones or whatever he sings about. I can't get into that music. It's too crazy for me. But somewhere in between Laura Trump and Captain Beefheart, there has to be the sweet spot where someone would write a good song. Anyway, we just wanted to mention it because it's going to be a hit song. And although it's terrible, I kind of find it interesting that she did it. And it kind of makes me think that maybe she is brave. This might be one of those songs that is actually written about the conditions under which the song itself was produced. Because the message of the song is be brave and everything will be okay. And her putting out this song, in a way, I kind of think is a little brave.
Yeah.
Because she's in such a fucked up family that hates art. You know
what
I mean?
Yeah. Anything is possible. I've put out this song.
Yeah. The proof is in the pudding. This is a metatext, this song. She's doing some real grad school stuff. I think we underestimate Laura Trump at our peril. And I think she could turn the RNC into the political juggernaut that it is not, that it has never been. If this is the type of deep critical thinking that she's bringing.
Do you really think that? Because see, that, no.
Do I really think what?
I think this hurts her. I think this hurts her credibility.
With who? Us and Pod Save America? Like, who gives a shit? Even in her press release, she's like, I'm sure all my fans and the liberal media will love this song. Like, she's already anticipating all of us dumping on it. It's not for us. Nothing that Trump does is for us. It's for their friends and their base.
I just can't believe that the actual Politico-type people that are in the RNC are going to be enjoying this or thinking this is... I mean, she does fine when she's on TV and she's talking about Trump and she's bashing Democrats. I mean, that's her job. That's what you're supposed to do. That's what the DNC does as well. So, but if I don't even know who's head of the DNC right now.
Exactly, because they haven't dropped a single. The DNC put out some stupid response song.
It's unnecessary. You don't need to put anything out.
Listen to this quote from her press release. This song and those that will follow, putting all of us on notice, have been a great creative outlet for me over the past several months. I have truly enjoyed every aspect, from writing to recording in the studio to tweaking the musical arrangements, and I'm excited to share my passion for music with the world. While my immediate focus over the next 8 months will be my new role at the RNC, I look forward to a time when I can jump back into this space. Unfortunately, all my fans and the liberal media will have to wait a little longer. I don't think this is a failure. I think people are going to like this. I could be wrong. I've been wrong before. But I think nobody hates this song more than her father-in-law, and that's probably why she did it. I think this might be her own version of oppositional defiant disorder, but it's taking a musical form.
Mm-hmm.
She might be an honorary member, John, of the Bloody Fist of Defiance.
Yeah.
She could be the fifth member.
Well, I've listened to it many times.
I've listened to it 1.5 times. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen to it again.
Okay.
You get something different every time.
Is that true? Like any great work of art, it rewards repeat exposure?
Yeah. It is just so basic cliche. It's just...
to that little girl.
That's not cliche.
Riding on the Pegasus.
The girl's riding on a Pegasus. That's crazy.
Everything's gonna be all right.
Oh,
hear that auto-tuner? All right.
Even when it's getting hard in this hurricane life.
Hurricane life? That's interesting.
That was the only interesting thing in it.
You got to spread your wings and fly. Have you ever heard a lyric
yeah,
like that
I
before?
I have never heard that.
Right? I like that it goes. Okay, let's. This is bad songwriting because it says, "Don't think, just jump.
Jump.
Don't give up." It's like I just jumped. It's like the, you know what I mean. Like, do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
She shouldn't have said jump and then say don't think, just jump. That's like the intrusive thoughts when you're extremely depressed.
Yes.
And then it says, "Oh, don't give up." You're like, "Well, you could have told me that before I jumped." Something's going. They should have done a second pass at the lyrics. I guess it is bad.
Yeah, well, that's why when the first time I heard it, I was like, okay, this was the first draft.
Yeah. Four lyricists.
Believe, just trust, you'll see. Anything is possible.
I think we could clean this up and actually make it into a good song with us singing it.
You want to do the karaoke version?
I mean, we could. I'm just saying that I can't believe this is the finished product.
This is it, man. This is the final mix, I think. It's been mastered, ready for airplay.
She needs to come out with a different with a remix.
So Trump's sneaker is more a grift than an actual sneaker, right? Than an actual work of sneaker design. And you're saying you feel the same way about this song, that this is fundamentally a grift, right? I think in its way, this is deeply personal, and she's putting herself not at like physical risk, obviously, but she is risking.
Yeah, I think you might be right. But yeah, my first thought was, how could you put out something so bad if you weren't just doing it for money?
That's the crux of it. And what I'm saying is where she is at artistically and personally.
She thinks it's good.
Yeah. This is sincere. Think about all the horrible art I've made over the years, thinking I was so talented and clever. Half of that stuff is so bad and terrible, right? Not half, more like 10%. But when you're starting out in a new form, when you're working, you know, like imagine you start painting with watercolor and then you paint some watercolor painting and it's like, oh, this looks like a real watercolor painting.
Mm-hmm.
That's how she felt about this song probably when she heard it on the monitor mix. Like, oh my God, this sounds like a real song. We really did it.
Mm-hmm.
My voice sounds so much better. How did you guys do that? You put reverb on my voice. It sounds great. Oh my God. What kind of pedals did we put on this? This is amazing. This is a Strymon delay. Sounds awesome. She was probably so happy and excited. And eventually, over the years, as she continues to move towards that kind of Trout Mask replica era of Laura Trump that we all wait for, when she's posted nothing but 9.5s on Pitchfork, she'll come and she'll look back at this and be like, yeah, I was so young, you know, and I was just getting started. At the time, I thought this was really good and personal. But now I see that my new song, which is called Radiator Fart Mars Pluto 121 Mommy I Love You, this is really where my creative energies lie.
You know, it's like in sports, you don't want to have a freshman quarterback start in a huge game because it can just crush their confidence and then they're just wrecked forever. To open when the spotlight is already so bright and you have all these other responsibilities with this, like, this feels like something she should have been doing in 2014.
Oh, I was going to say maybe she did it last year before she was elected co-chair of the party. Because think about the headlines that have come out about Laura Trump recently. Laura Trump elected co-chair of the RNC. And then the next round of news about the RNC was they had their night of the long knives and they just fired everybody who wasn't a Trump loyalist election denier. And now they're staffing it up with extreme MAGA loyalists.
Right.
And they're just going to funnel all the RNC money into Trump's legal bills. Like, that's pretty wild stuff.
Right.
Then the next thing that's coming out is, oh, and the co-chair, Laura Trump, who is the president's daughter-in-law, she's put out a new song called Anything Is Possible. It's like, yeah, we lived through that. We've been living through that. We know anything is possible. Don't think, just jump. There's much to consider. I know I say that a lot, but in this case, I truly think there's much to consider. And I think that this song, when you really get into it, maybe if you're a little drunk or high with your friends and you're listening to it maybe 20 or 30 times in a row this weekend, I think you will find that it stimulates some pretty interesting conversations and might make you think about Laura Trump in a new way. At least that's been my experience of this song. And so in that way, in spite of itself, in spite of its awfulness, I would say it's a rich text. That's what we'll say. It's a rich text.
It doesn't have that many views on YouTube, but I think there might be a delay on YouTube.
I can't wait to hear fucking Ben Shapiro and Charlie Kirk talking about what a great song it is and how it's better than Beyonce's new song. If this song gets folded into the Beyonce discourse, because you know Beyonce has a new album out, it's like a country western album.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Then we're in the sweet spot. This is the stuff. This is the good stuff. Anyway, anything is possible, guys. This week's episode, friends, is brought to you by Birchwood Palace Industries, publisher of the new amazing booklet, Paratroopers for Jesus, 4,936 band name suggestions from the 90s internet. In 1996, Yahoo.com cataloged more than a dozen band naming websites, many of which were on college servers or GeoCities sites with names like Official List of Stupid Band Names. Birchwood Palace Industries collected nearly 5,000 of these band name suggestions gathered from archived websites and found PDFs. From As You Read This, So Shall You Be Damned to Zero Golf, Paratroopers for Jesus also includes an introductory essay on media archaeology, Web 1.0, link rot, the joys of language, the indestructibility of the PDF format, and the low-stakes 90s band rehearsal culture from which these names emerged. John, I've seen a PDF of this book. It literally is just like 5,000 crazy band names. EPM listeners can get a 20% discount on any order from Birchwood Palace Industries by using the coupon code HELICOPTERTONY, one word, all caps, at checkout. Visit their online store at birchwoodpalace.com. Birchwood Palace Industries, this guy just does not miss.
No. Remember link rot? It's so... And again, I'm not a music critic, but her voice is, I know it's being auto-tuned, but it's something else. It's just tinny. Is that it?
She's doing that kind of...
It's not very full.
I associate it with Miley Cyrus. It's kind of like a, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
The nasal soulful quality.
But Miley Cyrus sounds so much better than that.
Miley Cyrus is like she can sing.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, but there's, yeah.
She's taking on vocal affectations kind of out. You know, it always sounds weird when someone takes on a vocal affectation or a vocal style, but they don't really. It's like wearing clothes that don't fit.
Yes. She's out of her range.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you want to move to here?
I think we're done. I think that's the episode. Let's just do a short episode.
All right.
It's perfect.
Okay.
Let's just make that the episode.
Okay.
Read the credits. Fuck it. Anything is possible, John. Anything is possible.
Talking to that little girl, riding on the Pegasus.
Election Profit Makers is an independent production. We welcome your support on Patreon at patreon.com/electionprofitmakers. And if you sign up for Patreon, you'll receive some wonderful EPM stickers in the mail. You'll also get an invite code to our private Discord. Send your election prediction questions, skyline requests, bird recordings, anything else to contact@electionprofitmakers.com. And if you want to advertise with us, email contact@electionprofitmakers.com.
So don't think, just jump. never.